Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. We're about to go around the NFL here in the loop. The question today was interesting. What I will do is at the end of this segment, because y'all have a lot of read the room moments, I will try and get in some read the room moments on the backside of the segment, so rock with us. But we got some football things to talk about, including with the Texans. They actually have a couple of transactions that they're doing. Obviously not trade acquisitions, but they had some things where, I mean, even just right now, right this moment, we got an update that the Texans have a kind of handful of transactions. Elijah Huzzy will indeed be activated from injured reserve. He was nearing the end of his window to be activated, so he will return to the team and be available to play. So people that will not be, Darrell Taylor and Jalen Smith, they are going onto the injured reserve. I want to finish this out, but those are very interesting that I would like to conversate about. And then the Texans have signed Matthew Wright, the kicker. That is interesting as well. Take note of that. And in order to accommodate all of that, one guy off the IL, two guys into the injured reserve, IL, and then you're signing. They are releasing Dalton King from the practice squad, the tight end fullback type guy that they had signed just a week ago. Which of those names draws the most attention to you?
Oh, you're looking at the same thing.
Is it Jalen Smith, the cornerback to the IR? Is it Darrell Taylor, the pass rusher to the top IR? Or is it Matthew Wright, the kicker, being signed?
I think it's both those. Just real quick on Matthew Wright, apparently there's some sort of something that Kyme Fairbairn has.
Yeah, we haven't gotten clarity, so I imagine when D'Amico talks later on today, we will definitely have somebody asking, hey, what's happening with him?
But reports say that it's still, I don't know if it was the word likely, but it still could be that he plays. They're just kind of covering their bases by bringing in another kicker.
Why would you need to do that when Dare Ogunbowale is right there?
Why do you even have him on the roster? That's right. He carries the ball.
Third down back. Dare Ogunbowale. Talk nice to my Nigerian brother, okay?
I do like him. Third down back. All right. So Jalen Smith and Darrell Taylor. I'm gonna put a hat on those two guys. I think they're both relatively interesting. Darrell Taylor, you don't see him a lot in the rotation, but he's very integral in special teams.
That's a good point.
Yeah, very integral in special teams.
Yeah, that is a good point that's worth making. Sometimes I can be a little myopic and not consider the special teams implications of depth. That was one of those guys that I did wonder, hey, is this a guy that they would be willing to trade? Now, of course, if he's going on to the IR, that makes it so that you
We forgot to tell you guys.
Trade him. that would be a consideration on whether or not you were trying to trade him or whatever. But yeah, it does feel like, especially with the return of D'Nico Autry and Derek Barnett being available, those guys feel like they're ahead of him in that rotation.
In the rotation, for sure.
And I feel like they have special teams guys that very much can step in. But you're right, Darrell Taylor absolutely had shown up that way. But I think the bigger one I actually look at is Jalen Smith, the rookie Jalen Smith. I thought as a cornerback, he showed so well early on in training camp, where I was like, they clearly have some level of trust in him. And that was exemplified even this week with him returning and them willingly deciding to have instances where they put him on the outside, move Kamari in to the slot, and move Jalen Petrie back to safety. Like they didn't. I don't believe that like MJ Stewart had injuries that created that.
Not that I know of.
That musical chairs of movement on their defensive backfield. I think that was a decision because they trust in what Jalen Smith can give them and trying to give them a different look in some things. And just the general conversation of cornerback depth is something that we had talked about a lot coming into the season. And I thought that he gave you some answers there. But on top of that, it felt like he was giving them a little bit of a curveball to be able to throw personnel-wise. And now you're not going to have that for at least 4 weeks.
No, I agree. And as you're looking at these moves that are coming in, you know, clearly it's something that's going to affect them because, you know, obviously they're bringing in Huzzy. They're bringing him up. So I don't know what you can count on from Jalen Smith anymore.
Yeah, that is fair. Somebody said on the 2-8 from the 2-8-1, Kaimi is scared of a kickoff versus Cam Little. Cam Little now the holder of the longest kick in NFL history. Yeah, I don't know if I'd say he's scared.
Man, he probably been working so damn hard this year.
Yeah, yeah, 6 kicks this week.
Yeah man. Mm-hmm.
As much as like I meant that earnestly, it does sound insane to me. He kicked the ball 6 times, guys.
Nevertheless,
he's the workhorse on this team.
I did like that text that came in earlier. I'm not going to take credit for it. I forget who it was, but somebody texted. They were asking in the morning show, you know, what should be, you know, the identity of the offense? Because the closest they could come was death by 1,000 cuts. Somebody texted death by 1,000 field goals.
I mean, has it ever been done before? Can we field goal you to death? Even that, you need a lot of, you know, 20-20 efficiency that sometimes is lacking from this team. Oof. Mind you, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. Streaming November 16th on Paramount Plus is The Return of Landman from Taylor Sheridan, who is the co-creator of Yellowstone. He's also an Academy Award winner, Billy Bob Thornton. He's back, featuring Academy Award nominees Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott. Landman. The new season is streaming November 16th only on Paramount Plus. Some other things before we get to the trade deadline. Monday Night Football is something that we kind of glossed over, which, mm-hmm. to be fair, it kind of seemed to be something like that. Jacoby Brissett starts for Kyler Murray, and what happens seems to happen in part just because you were playing against the Cowboys. The Cowboys have a good offense, a bad defense, and the bad defense really did help Jacoby Brissett, who is just a consummate professional. He just comes in and does what he's supposed to do as a backup.
He does.
That's at least how I thought about it until yesterday when the Cardinals made the decision to say that Jacoby Brissett would start at quarterback again this Sunday as they get a divisional game versus what I believe is one of the best teams, and I believe power rankings have, at least a couple of power rankings have, as the best team in all of football in the Seattle Seahawks. Jonathan Gannon, the head coach there, went as far as to say that even if Kyler Murray wasn't dealing with something, mm-hmm. that Jacoby Brissett would start. And I was like, hey, man, you didn't have to say all that. You didn't have to do that.
That's kind of a shot. No, that's not kind of a shot. That's a shot.
That's a message.
Yeah, that is a message. I kind of don't mind this, you know, if I were a Cardinals fan. Jacoby Brissett, as you mentioned, pretty much consummate backup, has started some games, has won some games. They were, I know it was the Cowboys defense, but they were humming.
No, they were humming.
They looked different from other games.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Jonathan Gannon decided to go with Brissett.
And a connection with Marvin Harrison Jr., which has been a big issue in Arizona. Not getting enough, you know.
Did he have the most catches in his young NFL career in the first half or something crazy?
Yes. So you get that. I mean, we hear it here. Well, we got to get the ball to Nico. Well, the connection between Brissett and Marvin Harrison Jr. is real.
Oh, Marvin Sr. must have called
hey,
in.
Hey.
Yo, Brissett need to start for the rest of the
brother,
year,
man. Look, mm-hmm. I understand what you're going for.
Say, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't know if I want to be able to speak for everybody on the show. I just feel like I should propose that we keep that man's name out of our mouths. Look, if you go to his Wikipedia page, he has done things that would make you say, I'm going to not take the chance that he takes anything I say.
Hey, he's looking out for his son.
I bet that's what he was doing.
I bet he was.
Being serious, you're right. Like, being able to make use of one of your great talents on this team that you went and acquired matters a great deal, which, mm-hmm. what an indictment of Kyler Murray, who, again, is dealing with a mid-foot sprain right now. But this was said that, like, it specifically that, you know, now, he did say that Kyler Murray would be the starter once he returns, but like those votes of confidence, mm-hmm. how far do they go, especially in an era where you're seeing quarterbacks that, you know, I think people took chances on being somewhat, what is the right word, non-traditional?
Yeah.
And I don't know, does this fall in for you, John Lopez, any level indictment of the kind of non-traditional quarterback route that the NFL has gone? Or do these feel like individual cases where you talk about someone like a Kyler Murray, Tua Tagovailoa, which I think we've gotten to that place with, and maybe some others that are out there?
Yeah, I don't know if I went there. I don't think that's a bad point. But I think it was as simple as They're getting more out of Jacoby Brissett. This is a simple case by case. You're getting a lot out of Jacoby Brissett. There is that connection I mentioned with Marvin Harrison Jr. And if he performs well again, I mean, hell, what if they win against Seattle? You're not changing.
Yeah, or even just look a lot better than what you've been looking like before.
Right.
I mean, and it's worth also noting that Jonathan Gannon, I don't know that he is like, I don't know exactly how hot a seat is, but I can tell you it ain't cool. Yeah. Like, it ain't ventilated by any means, right? Mm-hmm. He has not had the easiest go of it there as the head coach down there. So, yeah, if you're finding wins, and maybe even more importantly than the wins themselves, if you're finding your offense looking more competent, I would understand why you continue to be that in that place. But we'll see how that continues to develop. Some other things around the NFL. We did make mention of, obviously, the New York Jets. It's hard not to on the trade deadline because they were the main characters in the weirdest way because they were doing a whole bunch of selling yesterday, and yet they ended up as the main characters. Obviously, trading away some big foundational and load-bearing pieces of that defense, which, can I stop and say before I even get to my landing spot, somebody, I think it was it Diana Rossini or Josina Anderson, somebody in the NFL had texted them and said that, look at them breaking up a top five defense. And I was like, must be two definitions of top five.
Wow.
Like, there's top a lot five of talent and there. What are we doing there?
Yeah.
Regardless, they did that in trading away Quinnen Williams to the Cowboys. And, of course, the big deal that we had talked about, trading away Sauce Gardner to the Colts. For their efforts, they now have the command of five first-round picks in the next two drafts. And they decide, one, there's that, but the clear decision to blow up a team for the next year or so, is that smart and is that good? Is the question I want to ask. Because one of the things I've often talked about in the NFL is the NFL used to be the bastion of sports where tanking was not a thing that you could do. It was just, it was deplorable. It was a four-letter word. You could not end up in that place where you were tanking. This is a very clear indication in a way that we've kind of already gotten to a little bit that not only are we blowing up on this season, we're giving up on the next season, really. Is that smart, especially for a team that, let's face it, this is not the first time that they've had an abundance of picks, and they be getting out here and making terrible ones.
Well, I'm actually – we heard D'Amico Ryans on Monday saying, we got to do something because it wasn't working. I think you can say that about the Jets in general. Like it hasn't been working. They've been going through coaches. They've been bad. They've been having some miserable performances. They had to do something. And if you give me five first-round picks and 2 seconds in these next two drafts, obviously, then you know that. I think you're putting yourself in a good place to do that something in a big way. I also think it is something, and I don't know if you agree with this, but I think it's something of a vote of confidence in the plan that Aaron Glenn has, you know, and they're buying it. Like, he knows in his mind anyway, like, this is not going to work. We're just going to be putting Band-Aid on Band-Aid on Band-Aid. We've got to start again. Another rebuild in New York, I wouldn't be excited about it because they just had one like an hour and a half ago.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is rebuild 3 in the last decade.
Yeah. But, I mean, you had to do something.
I mean, I hear you on that, and I hear you actually on the Aaron Glenn thing. The question I always have as a little bit of a detour here is, I know what it looks like when you got the brother as the head coach during the down times, and I know that more often than not, that is not the person who gets an opportunity to handle this in the good times. And to be fair, I don't even need to limit that to the brother. Like, I think that is an additional mitigating factor, like a force multiplier. Mm-hmm. But I think about in all sorts of sports where the person in the down times doesn't get to do this. Hell, a dude who is at the helm of one of the good teams in the NBA right now, Kenny Atkinson. Remember when he was with the Brooklyn Nets and that team was bad, but they looked better than they had any business being in those bad times? And then it came time to be good, and they were like, here comes Steve Nash, right? I think that's just the nature of teams in these sports. Let's start fresh in a lot of different ways as we're reaching that apex. I do wonder if he gets there. But the larger question I wanted to get to, again, circling back to the ways in which football seemingly had been different, is it a good thing that we are getting even more comfortable with the idea of teams just going ahead and lighting a year on fire?
We are. I think the NFL understands, you know, that's the route that people, and they don't have any control over it other than scheduling and such, you know, the NFL in terms of parity and playing all the way through. It's not like they're not going to play hard. You know, Aaron Glenn's going to have them playing hard. I think that, you know, but this is the smart move. And one more thing on your first point, this is Aaron Glenn is their D'Amico Ryans. He's a legend with the Jets. So he's going to get more grace and time, I feel, at least the 3 years, right?
I hope so. Like, again,
I'm not sure.
I think
Aaron Glenn in New York is beloved.
I ain't disagreeing with that. I'm not sure about the they going to give him 3 years.
Well, this year it's hard
to
tell.
Yeah, it's hard to tell with the Jets.
He'll
to
be able
honest.
To get the picks, is what I'm saying.
And I think he should have the 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think your point is well made. I've seen any level of hope be drubbed out in a lot of different moments. So I do hope for that for him. But yeah, I apologize because I guess this is somewhat like my personal opinion where I keep bringing it to the fore here. But it's just like, I don't know how good it is that you have team. And to be fair, like, we know teams that were going to be bad, but even the Titans, like, that ended up being bad this year. And I think it's very clear that that is what they are. They've sold off for this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think they came in with clear aspirations of being good. Like, I don't know that it ends up being good when you have, especially for a league that is built largely on the idea of parity, to have teams that are so willing now, understanding, and even as understandable as it might be from the individual perspective, willing to just be like, we can't, like, there's no real path forward here. Let's tear this
down. Do you feel like they were planning on trading Sauce, though? I feel like that was something that just came to their doorstep, and they were just like, whoa, what?
Yeah, the reporting, at least with specifically with Sauce, is that they were like, we're not trading him unless we get a haul, and clearly the
Colts got a haul.
Did that.
Yeah.
Where they got knocked off the feet. I think also, though, the thing that admittedly I've been in two minds about was they came into the season with Justin Fields as their quarterback, where it just felt like they, in a way that they were not maximizing everything they could get to, because even just the contract that Justin Fields got was like, ooh, okay, so this feels like this is something else. It feels like the Jets, maybe not even the face of this, but it feels like a reminder of the NFL, where all 32 teams are really pushing for that goal in a real way at the beginning. Yeah, is probably
not so much anymore.
Yeah. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Wednesday. Coming up next, are you down for the return? There's a report out there, or at least maybe a speculation, a reasonable speculation, that this man could return to your Houston Astros. You down? Let's talk about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. I will start the segment by admitting I'm a dirty, filthy, stinking liar.
Oh, liar. I'm glad you said that.
Yep. I said at the end of the last segment I was going to get to some of the question of the day answers that y'all had about your read the room moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I will. But apparently,
like, you wasn't reading the room.
Yeah, man. So you know what? This segment, I will get you some read the room moments. I will read some of those. But before we get there, you down for the return, John Lopez? Are you down for the return? That is a question that I think Astros fans are now faced with, as Chandler Rome does a fantastic job covering this team for The Athletic, that team being the Astros, clearly. And in his latest dispatch, kind of talking about the offseason outlook and such, he was, you know, mentioning kind of replacing the lost innings when it comes to the, you know, your starting rotation and such. And one of the things that he gets to is something that he also expressed a thought on the Clutch City Territory podcast that he also hosts. And that is the possible return of a, dare I say, Houston Astros legend.
Oh, you can say.
Justin Verlander. Obviously has been, you know, he's out there. He had a rough start to his season, but he ended up really kind of hitting his stride at the latter part of the season. I believe the last five starts for him were incredible. He's turning 43 in February.
Yikes.
And he threw only 152 innings, 3.85 ERA for the Giants, but it really ticked to an incredible place.
Because he was you say rough, he was really bad for a while.
He was bad.
Didn't have a win for 2 months?
Yeah. And I remember us having that conversation, that specifically because he's one of the last dudes that you look at trying to hit big wins numbers.
Yeah.
In MLB. And so does he try and continue that here? This is Chandler Rome on that Clutch City Territory podcast talking about the possibility of a Verlander return.
I would put the odds at greater than 50% that it happens. I've not been told that anything is tangibly close, but you don't really have to have backroom sources or anything to hear this. Justin Verlander, when the Giants came to Houston this year, Justin said on the rail, yeah, I'm always open to coming back here. I want to come back here. He said he called Jim Crane last year when the Giants offered him and said, can you match this? And Jim at the time said they weren't in a position to do that. You don't need you don't need to know people to know that. He has said that it's very clear that Justin Verlander really likes it here. He and Jim Crane are very good friends. I can imagine that if this does get done, it will be a Justin Verlander and Jim Crane negotiation. Mm-hmm. I think Dana would be looped in at the last minute to just let him know that, hey, it's happening. And I think a lot of people would look at it as, oh, here we go again. But I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world. Justin Verlander was excellent in the second half last year.
I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world either. We understand. I think there's a lot of factors that would lead to him coming back. You mentioned the win totals. I think legacy matters, obviously. At 43 years old, doesn't need the money. He has 266 wins. I still don't think he would get to 300 because that's a lot of wins with 34.
Yeah, that is the math, 34. And ain't nobody doing the going 34-0. Yeah, we're not doing those anymore. Unfortunately, we are not making those anymore.
But he could bump up considerably. I think legacy matters. Length of service, he's already a Hall of Famer, but length of service is going to matter to him. So I think that's one thing. You heard Chandler talking there about the friendship. He has a very unique and close friendship with Jim Crane, from just being friends to golf to baseball minds, the way they talk and listen to each other and trust each other. And we know Jim Crane, is very involved, more so than most owners in personnel decisions.
He said he called Jim Crane to see if he's going to match it.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, how about this?
That swag right there, man. Let me call the owner. Hey, you going to match this contract?
Yeah. I think also they need it. Even 43-year-old Justin Verlander, they need it.
That was the part because the nostalgia, all the good feelings of that return, that's cool. I don't know that, or maybe you can, right? Maybe that's indicative of where you think this team is, but I don't know that you can make your decision based off of the feel of it. It has to be pragmatic, and I think that there is an argument for the pragmatism of a move that returns Justin Verlander. To give you the numbers, speaking of that first half, second half split, 0-7. In his 15 first starts in the season, a 4.70 ERA. Second half, 4-4 with a 2.99 ERA. And it got even better in those last few starts. I think in September it was a 2.56, or sorry, that's even the strikeout to walk ratio, 2.08 ERA in September and October. He got that thing really humming late in the season. The question I have is, especially because I only know that I have one guarantee, I have one check mark when it comes to your pitching rotation, that's Hunter Brown. Outside of that, Luis Garcia was just outrighted, which doesn't necessarily mean that he will not be back, but it could lean very much to that depending on how the waivers go over the next day or whatever. But who else do you have that you look at that you go, definitely feel good about? Is Arrigetti making his way back to the place where you feel comfortable? Is Hayden Wesneski making his way back to a place where you feel? Justin Verlander, again, I think assuming that you get the second half version of him and assuming that, the Astros are a much better offensive help or lift than the Giants, because that was one of the big issues with him there. It's not that he wasn't also giving them decent stuff at times, that the Giants were just abysmal offensively and they gave him no run support. Well, that sounds a little bit like the Astros, but if the Astros, if you can find a little bit of way to be better offensively, you might be able to make this in his age 43 season something that is beneficial to you for as a middle or maybe back of your rotation starter.
Probably middle to back at probably at best. But you need all the arms you can get. He has thrived in Houston. You know, he's loved the analytics team and the pitching. I know there have been some changes, but, you know, the pitching staff and coaching and all that. I do think you need to sort of readjust your expectations. I mean, he hadn't had more than 7 wins in 5 years. That's shocking, but it's true. But if he can get you 8-9 wins.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, tickets will sell, too. That's a factor.
Well, yeah, but yeah. I mean, that's not a factor for us. Like, shout out to Jim Crane. I know that will matter for him. And, hell, depending on where this team is, where the window talk that we always talk, maybe that becomes more prevalent for him as a decision-making factor. I'm interested in this part because this is something that we talk about, but we sometimes neglect. From the 713, I'm cool with this. And then from the 512, we could definitely use his leadership. How much does, like, him as a veteran and that experience – matter in this, especially where you've lost pieces that we looked at and we kind of talked about as experienced guys in the clubhouse that keep that culture?
Yeah.
How much does, because we saw the impact that Carlos Correa had coming back to this club. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't want to overstate it, but it did feel like there was something different there. How much more do you see from that happening in the pitching room and having that, you know, having that experience and that type of dude and his gravity, not just in that room, but also within the organization to maybe be able to push back on certain things? I think that might not be right.
That might be the biggest thing, right? You know, you get 8-9 wins out of him. Maybe you get lucky and get double digits. But the bigger thing is what he's going to do for the pitching staff, just in terms of being a starter, and but also just the leadership for the pitching staff. I mean, he is a baseball junkie with an immense amount of knowledge.
Sure.
And the respect that he's going to command with Correa, with Altuve. I get it. We're going to be talking about, you know, the aging Astros and the, you know, all that stuff, but it does matter.
And the question that I think is fair, and actually this isn't even a question. This is a first pure statement from another 281. You can't pick and choose which Verlander you get when you're talking about first half, second half of last year. Which is fair. I was just trying to point out some of the factors there. But that is a good point, right?
Yeah.
That is still 43. And Verlander is one of those guys that you kind of have an asterisk besides his name because he operates different. He's built different, right? Mm-hmm. But even then, what is the guarantee that you get a full season of it and a full season of the level that you want? And is that concern mitigated by what we were just talking about when it comes to the veteran status and the gravity that he brings to the
I think
so
it's
on?
Somewhat mitigated, but at the same time, no one, literally no one, no matter what you hear someone says, can know what to expect from him in his age 43 season. You just can't.
But you're willing to take the gamble.
Other reasons, yes, I think it's worth it.
Especially because this is one of those things that, like, Jim Crane is in on, right? I think sometimes getting a big name, one of the obstacles to get over in a weird way of saying is Jim Crane's willingness to sign a check, right?
Like,
that's been some of your talent has left because of Jim Crane's unwillingness to sign that particular check for whatever reason. And to whatever level of validity. Mm-hmm. This one feels like it's an easy one to get over the line, and it's at a position of need. I find it interesting that it's a possibility or it's something that's plausible within Chandler Rome's perspective, and I would like kind of to see it, to be honest. Because I have to raise my hand. End of last year when it was like, could he be traded at the deadline? I said, I'm good on it. I don't want it. I feel like I've changed tune here.
I have too. I think it'd be good for the Astros. Certainly he would be happy, and fans would be happy, and I think it would affect the clubhouse.
Now, don't let that stop you from going and making other moves to actually get yourself some pitching that'll be.
Oh God,
while.
No! Yeah,
that would be the thing that would frustrate.
That's the thing. Yeah, like God, you're not signing Verlander to carry the whole squad or anything like that. Now, still make your moves and sign Verlander too.
Yes.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I did say because I'm trying to not be a dirty, filthy, stinking liar here. That I would get you some of the question of the day we were asking. What was your read the room moment or your favorite of those? On the YouTube page, somebody said that they're at work in the ER one day. A patient asked them how they were doing, right? Just kind of general pleasantries. They said back reflexively, better than you, it seems.
Dude's laying on his back in the ER. I'm doing better than
and
you.
That's the thing.
That's for dang sure.
In my brain, when I first read this, I read this as hospital. So it's like, you know, maybe they maybe
the ER, man.
Yeah, maybe this
might
is
have
a joke.
A gash or something.
Right. They got a nail through they leg or something. It's just like, yeah, better than you. Hey, don't make fun of me. I need help in this moment. I need help. From the 832, they said, my best friend passed away in a wreck. So we had a birthday celebration the next month, obviously trying to be celebrable. They said their goofball best friend walked in with a shirt with a big picture on it, had to go to Walmart and get another shirt. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's very much read the room. I was just going to say, like, yeah, we're trying to maybe make this into a good thing. Don't go too far with it. Like, don't come and be a clown here. That's a little too much. You know what? Go ahead and keep sending those in. If you have more read the rooms, I'll try and sprinkle them in as we keep going here on a Wednesday in the loop on Sports Radio 610. In fact, coming up next, let's get into what's popping, where the first college football top 25 came out. Did you have any takeaways, John Lopez? And the Rockets get going tonight. I have a question for you on that regard. We'll do all that next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. I do want to go backwards real quick, which apparently I do a lot now as I say that out loud, and I apologize for that. We were just talking about the possibility.
I love how he beats himself up all the time.
And I just want you to understand, I say it happens a lot, and maybe it might sound like a little bit of a joke. It's really me doing this. And
he's like a modern day Rodney Dangerfield. I'm all right now, but you should have seen me last week.
But yeah, we were just talking about the possibility of Justin Verlander, a return and a reunion. I was about to say, what is the actual word there? But a reunion with the Astros. Someone on the text line brings up a fair point, right? From the 979, the dynasty is over. It really doesn't matter at this point that he's not going to win you a World Series. And I actually would quibble with that. I hear you. I don't think that he's going to win you a World Series inherently. I think there's value in being good. And especially in what we've seen in baseball of late. Now, of course, the last two World Series themselves, World Series winners themselves, the Dodgers, your Dodgers, John Lopez.
Let's go Dodgers.
I wore that shirt yesterday.
There it is.
Oh, you wore it?
Yeah. You know, I was put a big t-shirt on, you know, when ready for bed or whatever, gym shorts.
he sleeps so that he could dream about the Dodgers. That's
sleep
right.
Sleep with the Dodgers.
But yeah, with them winning it, like I understand where you go there, but with the advanced amount of parity and the teams that we've seen at times make runs in the postseason, sometimes you just got to need to be good and see what happens once you get to the trade deadline and in those time periods. And so I think there's value in seeing if you could be good. And I think Justin Verlander.
That's the thing about baseball, too, man. Once you get in the dance, man, it's about who's hot at that moment, too.
This is true. And by the way,
don't position me as no hope merchant in this case, because I'm not saying that that's what will happen, but I'm just saying, just generally, I feel like there's value in it.
And who was saying they were going to win a World Series?
Well, I think I don't know that they were saying that we were saying that. I think that for them, they were like, if that's not what it is, then I don't want it.
Yeah.
Which. How nice is it that we can be like that? We can be like, if I'm not going to win a World Series, don't talk to me.
So we might as well not sign anybody
at
that point.
Exactly.
Get a World Series and don't talk to me. I got better things to do with my summer.
Exactly.
Speaking of things that you like to do with your summer and the things that make you feel like this, 3 years ago today was when the Astros won their second World Series.
How about that?
Yeah. Some of my pictures is popping up on Facebook.
Oh, you get the memories? Yeah.
Oh, I got that first World Series.
Yeah, it was the second one.
Yeah, well, it was the one that popped up on mine was the
2017
one, yeah.
Okay.
That was the parade. It was at the parade.
Oh, yeah.
It was pictures of me at the parade.
Oh, okay. No, I came across that this morning. Just little bitty things that just warm your heart. I mean, I was like, that was 3 years ago today. I could still see myself watching Yordan's home run go over the fence, still see myself in the after party over in Edo.
Oh, you remember that?
Barely.
I was about to say, it's like, good for you.
Well, I had to go on the air. We were on air till what, 4 in the morning? 3 in the morning?
I think so, yeah, till Captain Mickey came and relieved everybody.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I just wanted to get that little dopamine hit in there.
Yeah.
Hopefully that did something for you.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of it, Astros news, we mentioned this. There was kind of scuttlebutt about it. Officially, the Astros placed outfielder Chaz McCormick on outright waivers, along with John Rooney, who was the reliever that they had brought in at one point, Kennedy Corona, Luis Garcia, and Pedro León.
That's the one
that did it for you? Because I was like, I wonder if this is the one that'll do it. And I was right.
Yes. I was like, really?
The other ones didn't do it for you?
No, I mean, expected. Okay. You know, kind of expected, I think, most of it. I mean, they had pretty high. I did.
I thought so, yeah.
On Pedro León. You know, I was a little bit surprised. Weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it just ended up being one of those things that you had a little bit more expectation of, and ultimately you got nothing really out of.
Mm-hmm.
It's worth remembering, though, because also I know that there's been baseball heads that have been frustrated about non-baseball heads not remembering this with the outrighting. That's a process, or refers to the process of removing a player from the 40-man roster, mm-hmm, and assigning them to a minor league team once they clear waivers. So there's a possibility that these players clear waivers back and they remain in your system. This does not necessarily mean that everybody is good to go, although I do imagine that people look at that and go, Chaz McCormick is probably at very worst, like a quad A type level player. Luis Garcia is a major league level player. Do other teams then snatch them up and then you're not able
to. Well, he's out for the season, though.
And that's, mm-hmm, also a good point. Yeah. That's also a great point to notice.
Just real quick, part of the thing with Pedro Leon, and I looked it up, and it is correct. Remember when they signed him, you know, out of Cuba, that he defected? They gave him $4 million. I mean, that's they
yeah, that's right.
They gave him a good chunk of money.
It was a big check.
Yeah, for an international player. So that was part of the reason I was like, well, a little bit of a surprise there.
Or unless they hoping that he clears and
maybe
and come back. Yeah, maybe he's one of those.
That is a possibility. Some other things that are popping. Last night, we got the college football playoffs first top 25 rankings, and there's a couple of things I want us to remember. I think that I would not be doing my due diligence as me and my beliefs in not reminding everybody that this doesn't actually matter.
Doesn't really matter.
Like, this doesn't actually matter. My long-held belief, mm-hmm, is that they should not do these rankings leading up. They should just get to the final one.
Come
and
on,
do
you know
full,
better than that.
But I know that we need the TV show.
It gets the people going.
It gets the people going. We need all this. However, so within that, another thing I wanted to remind before giving you an opportunity, mm-hmm, to just give me what you thought of it. This year, the committee's emphasis supposedly is on strength of schedule and strength of record.
Yeah, and I for that reason, and I heard Booger McFarland talking about this, not that it matters. Again, it doesn't. But I was a little bit surprised at the top five, a little bit, just because, you know.
And who is that top five?
That would be Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, A&M 3, Alabama 4, and Georgia 5. I mean, you go into Death Valley, you go into Notre Dame Stadium, you go in, you know, the SEC undefeated. I thought the A&M strength of schedule, in fact, it is. You know, it's probably
the hardest schedule.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is the hardest. But again, Mac Rhodes, formerly of UH and now at Baylor, kind of talked about the eye test a little bit. Now, he mentioned the stats of, what was it, defensive rating was higher for Ohio State and Indiana. But he also talked about what they had seen, and I'm like, okay, I mean, I guess I don't mind the eye test.
This is the thing I do hate about this whole song and dance. And I credit Nicole Auerbach, who covers college football incredibly well, for really getting me fired up about this yesterday, which is the committee never gives us a good accounting of what actually they're – not even just the emphases that they're doing, that they're thinking of, but what statistics and what things they're utilizing. Mm-hmm. It's always this nebulous kind of thing that we're chasing, idea we're chasing. And it works for them because whatever they ultimately want to do works out. If we're talking about strength of record, strength of schedule, how are you telling me Indiana's not number one? With all due respect to Ohio State, because I do like Ohio State, and it does feel like they're probably the best team in the nation. However, if we're talking about strength of schedule and strength of record, Indiana's looked a lot better than what Ohio State's done.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Oregon, I kind of understand how that one slips because...
No, that they went in and beat Oregon.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about with Indiana. No, I agree with you. Again, we just have to say this over and over. Like, all these teams, especially, let's say, 8 through 15 or so, they might not even be in the mix, some of these teams. Like, if Notre Dame loses another game, Oregon loses another game, Texas, Utah, Virginia, they're out.
It don't even matter.
One of the things I do find interesting, obviously, you got your two Big Ten teams at the top, a big glut of SEC teams, and obviously there's going to be a little bit of infighting there. You have two Big 12 teams, and those are the only two that are really represented in the top 12 there in BYU and Texas Tech. And the thought is, one of them or whoever else steps in, if it's like, you know, who is Utah have a possibility of crashing the party? I don't know. One of them ends up getting bounced to some degree to where how much representation does Big 12 have? And then your highest ACC ranking is Virginia.
Yeah.
And then Louisville right next to them. Like, the ACC not getting no love.
Miami would have been number. I mean, they've just been spitting the bit.
They have been.
They look like a great team, and then until they didn't. And one other thing, I was mentioning Mac Rhodes. I kind of want to thank him in a sense, because I've been saying these three games that the Aggies have, you know, are going to really determine a big chunk of just how far they go. You know, I mentioned, you know, Arkansas, LSU, and Missouri is this week. Well, they passed the first two tests. Missouri, I've been saying all year, that's a really good team, although they've been slipping a little bit lately. He said the A&M defense wasn't as good as Ohio State. And he literally said that as Ohio State and Notre Dame. Has he been watching the A&M defense? But I kind of want to thank him because, you know, that's on the bulletin board. That's on the bulletin board.
You tell me the A&M needs bulletin board material?
Well, maybe. Everybody does. Everybody does. I mean, the sacks, the third. I think they have the best or second best third down efficiency in the country.
Yeah, really good on third.
I was like, okay, thanks, Mac. Appreciate that because, you know, Mike Elko, the defensive coach, is going to be using that.
Again. As much as we just talked about it for a number of minutes.
Doesn't matter.
Really doesn't.
Yeah, it don't.
I understand. It's oxymoronic. Here I am talking about it, making content out of it. It doesn't matter.
It really does. Like, I wouldn't even be mad if they had Ohio State number two or three. It's just like, okay, cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Talk to me when we actually get to the
point. Let's get into the playoffs and then talk.
Right. Yeah. Some other things that's popping. The Rockets, after winning four in a row, they will be on the road in Memphis tonight. And never mind, I was about to say, let me not be John Lopez and do this thing where you call something and then something else happens. No Jabari Smith Jr., no Steven Adams tonight. So that I think that gets interesting, especially if that zone gets broken out with Clint Capella in that double big, because those are two guys that really make that defensive zone work.
Mm-hmm.
Even still, I'm not worried about them.
You said they in Memphis?
Yeah, they're playing against the Grizzlies.
Okay.
Which actually brings me the opportunity to bring up.
That's why I was wondering. Yeah. I'm like, man, you might could call this game, to be honest.
Have you kept up with the Ja Morant thing happening right now?
It's a little bit dicey, isn't it?
If you have not, Ja Morant looked like he was going to be the American face of the league at some years ago. Now, he will say that he never asked for that, and I understand that to some degree. But we looking in, we're like all fascinated by Ja Morant, one of the best players, at least one of the best guards in the league. Now he's in a place where I think that it's fair to ask if he's a top 40 player in the league, if he's a top 10 point guard in the league, and also if he even wants to be on the team. This was him, I believe, 4 days ago. This is the first one here that you have. This was Ja Morant after a really rough game that he had, being asked about his performance, and it didn't seem like he was excited.
What went wrong for you today?
Go ask the coaches about it.
Do you feel like, I mean, it was anything you could do differently, I guess?
Go ask them. They had a whole spill in here, so.
From the outside, may be wrong, but from the outside, it didn't look like you had your usual energy tonight.
Go ask the coaching staff why.
Okay. You feel like you should play more?
Go ask the coaching staff. Should I play more or not?
What could have been done different to get a different outcome other than asking the coaching staff?
According to them, probably don't play me, honestly. That's what basically the message was after, so it's cool.
The coaching staff message was that?
It's cool, man.
He's so gone. He's so gone.
We don't even need to play the audio, but then that was 4 days ago, mind you. After a 117-112 loss to the Lakers, he was season-low 8 points in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think this was probably yesterday, if memory serves, or no, a couple days ago. After a game, he was asked if he has his usual joy right now. Guess what his answer was?
That would be a no.
That's right. And the thing that I ultimately wanted to get here, I just wanted to play that audio, right?
The answer is no.
There was somebody, I've seen some people that are like,
I know what the question is.
Yeah.
The answer
point guard,
is no.
Depressed asset.
The answer is no.
No matter what you give up for him?
Dude.
No matter how little.
Because it seemed like
it seemed like
the price of the brick might be down.
Toxic.
The price of the brick might be down, man.
Toxic.
And honestly, you know what's funny?
Yeah.
I think, and it's easy to have the hot opinion right now, so don't give me no credit for this. I think even if you have peak Ja Morant, I don't want him on this team. And it's not even the toxicity that's possible there. I don't think he fits what you need.
I think you can find a way. I don't know about if I can go that far.
Like, he has always been explosive athlete.
Mm-hmm.
He's been an all right passer, but he's not been as much of an organizer. And I think that when it comes to point guard right now, that's what you need more than anything is you need an organizing force for this Rockets team in particular.
But I think, you know, and again, there is no peak John Morant.
No. But, I mean, his points at the rim have gone down tremendous. I'm talking about like he is, not to get too advanced, but like it's half as what it was at his peak over the last few years. You've seen that decline greatly. So it's kind of sad to see a dude of that magnitude.
Yeah.
In part because of the natural progression of his game, but also it's hard to ignore the fact that he did some of this to himself with his kind of tomfoolery, his knuckleheadedness, and now just seemingly not happy with the new coaching staff and their rotational patterns.
It was no.
And we will get to see that on on full display when the Rockets take on the Grizzlies today. Hopefully they get a victory and get themselves to 5 wins in a row as they keep the season going early on. All right, we'll get the feeling of the season going early. Coming up next, let's get back to this Texans team. This is a question that John Lopez asked, and I'll allow him to explain it, because right now I'm still wondering what this means. Is this D'Amico Ryans' Dunkirk moment?
It's his Dunkirk question mark?
713-572-4610. I'll find out what the bleep that means next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.